I'm worthless.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
Do something stupid. Not do what I'm supposed to do and walk away. Boy, Greg, you sure are worthless. Didn't do something I should have done. Boy, Greg, you're worthless. You know, I have. I've said that. I've said it this week. And it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. I've already said it this week. Boy, Greg, you're worthless. But why do we feel that way? In Luke 22:31, Jesus, he tells Peter, he warns Peter that Satan desires to sift him as wheat. You know, running through the grinder.
Right.
How many of us does Satan want to run through the grinder?
Yeah, right.
Huh? Well, that wheat that gets run through the grinder, what does that turn into? It turns into flour, right?
Yeah.
Is flour worthless?
Yeah.
No. I got to thinking about that flour. I've always liked to cook. I like to grill meats and smoke stuff, but I just got into baking biscuits here recently. But I want them to be perfect. So keep trying different things and everything. You mix the flour and mix the buttermilk and a little salt, some butter, a little mayonnaise. Mix that all in there. Put it in some more butter in a pan.
Yeah.
You know, that flour is not worthless now, is it?
Yeah.
But I didn't sift any of that flour. So Satan desires to sift us like wheat. You know, I mix all that stuff up in the bowl and I've got that batter, biscuit dough right there. I pull something out of the shelf. It's a silver can. It's already got some flour in it. What do we call that? I always call that a sifter. Is that what the real term for that thing is? Did you squeeze the handle?
Yeah.
Well, I sift that flour out on that countertop, and I pour that biscuit dough out there, and I sift some more on top. But what's that flour doing? Is it part of your biscuit? No, the only thing it's doing is to keep the dough from sticking to the counter, right? Well, that's what I feel like. I'm the flour that gets put on the counter just to keep the dough from sticking. That's how worthless I feel that I am. Why do I feel that? Because Satan's sifting me. What do we do with that flour after we cut the biscuits and put them in the pan? Throw it in the trash. That's how I feel sometimes. I know I'm not the only one. Do you feel that way?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Satan wants you to feel that way. Because
yeah.
If you feel worthless, you're not going to do anything. He's got you if you feel worthless. But that's just not the case. You are not worthless. You have been chosen.
Right. Yeah, amen. That's good.
Brother Rick, will you pray for us, please?
God, you made us.
If you got your Bible, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're going to look at chosen tonight in a couple of aspects. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You know, in myself, I have no ability to be holy. Can't do it. But he chose to make me that way. God chose us. I mean, when did he choose us? It was before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created the world. Before he created anything. He already chose who? Us. God chose us. Preacher. Us. Caleb. Us. Brother Rick. Us. He chose us. Well, then he proved how much he loved us. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," listen to this, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He chose to die for us. He said for the joy that was set before Him. He counted it joy.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did we take His Son? No, He gave His Son. If I give you something, am I forced to do it?
No.
No, it's a choice.
Yeah.
God gave His Son as a choice. He chose us over His Son.
Yeah.
He gave His Son to die for us. God chose us.
Yeah.
But do we really know who it is that chose us?
Yeah.
And I seen something the other day that sparked an interest, so I had to do some research. It made me really think about how amazing God really is. In St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God made everything. Jesus created everything." He created it all, right? But am I saying that too lightly when I say, you know, He created everything? In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That was day 1. Day 2, He made the skies. Day 3, He made land and plants. Day 4, He made the sun and the moon. He made the stars also, it says. Day 5, the fish and the birds. Day 6, He made the animals, insects, and man. And day 7, He rested. He created it all.
Right.
6 days.
Right.
But I don't know if that really, if me telling you that, if it sinks in or not. So I came up with an illustration. Now, He created the earth. Does anybody know how far it is from one side of the earth to the other if you cut through the middle? The diameter of the sphere that is earth. It's 7,926 miles. That's a long way. That's a big rock, isn't it? That is a big rock. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about it on scale for a little bit. Everybody knows what that is. It's a globe, right? Well, this is going to represent Earth. You know, God created that in 6 days. I probably couldn't create that globe in 6 days. But this is a scale model of Earth. And how big is Earth? It's 7,926 miles across. This is 12 inches. How many of you have ever built a scale model when you was a kid? Put a little car together.
Yeah.
What scale was that little car to a real car? It's like 1/16.
Yeah.
So if you take that car and make it 16 times bigger, it's the same size as a real car. Well, does anybody want to take a guess on what the scale model of this Earth is? It's 1 to 41,849,280. So if we would multiply this by 41,849,280, that would be the size of the planet that we live on. But is that all He created? No. What's the next closest thing to us? The moon. This is about the size of the moon compared to our planet. I need somebody that's smart.
Look around.
Brother Dennis, could you come up here on the stage and put this moon where you think it would be in relationship to the planet to be at scale? How far would the moon be away?
Let me see.
What do y'all think? Further?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit farther. What do you think? Nah, it's a little bit farther.
A little bit farther.
A little bit farther. More? Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Right there. Hold it up. That is the distance at scale between the Earth and the Moon. What's the next closest rock to the Earth? Mars is the next closest rock. Brother Dennis, you're a good moon holder. Thank you. You know, if we were going by this scale, where would Mars be? It'd be a lot farther than that. It would be in the parking lot of GoMart at Route 41. Right there at the intersection across from the McDonald's. Mars would be right there. What's the most important thing in our solar system? The sun. That's where we get all of our heat from. How far do you reckon it would be at this scale? It'd be at the entrance of Phillips Run Road off of Route 19. Could you see that from Phillips Run Road? No. That's how big our universe is. But when I was in school, Pluto was a planet.
Yeah.
Now they're saying it's not a planet. But I'm going to still count it a planet because Frametown Elementary wouldn't have lied to me. All right? So if we would take the distance that Pluto goes around and cut the distance in half, that would be how wide our solar system is. And if we would take that distance, and I was standing right here in this place, well, I forgot something. How big would the sun be if we were on this scale? Since we're talking about the sun before we go on to Pluto. Would it fit in this room? I stepped it off the best I could a little bit ago, but there's all the stuff in my way. If I started at the back wall of the baptistry and walked all the way to the wall in the vestibule there, it's roughly 110 feet. Well, the sun would be 107 feet diameter. 107 feet in every direction. That's how much bigger the sun is than our little rock we live on that's 7,900 and some miles across. That's how big the sun is. But now we're talking about the orbit of Pluto around the sun from one side to the other. If I'm standing right here, it would take me to a famous place. And that is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. If Earth was this size. If Earth was this size. God created that in how many days?
6 days.
That's not all. According to NASA, there are more than 3,200 stars with planets orbiting them in our galaxy, the Milky Way. So roughly 3,200 other solar systems the size of ours in our galaxy. That's huge, isn't it? 3,200 times that. But there's more. The Hubble Space Telescope revealed an estimated 100 billion, that's with a B, galaxies in the observable universe. 100 billion times the 3,200 stars with planets. How long did God take to create that?
6 days.
That's not all. Do you know how far scientists claim that they can see into outer space? Now, they measure that in light years. Can anybody imagine what a light year is? So I converted that to miles. And let's just tell you, my calculator's locked. But I got it figured out by estimating. It is more. That distance that they claim to see in one direction is 273 sextillion miles. More than that. That was rounded off. Throw that number up on the board so they can see that number. Anybody ever counted that high? God created that in how long? Well, that's only half of what we've seen. They can see 273 sextillion miles that way, but guess what they can see this way? 273 sextillion miles, how many ever that is. I don't know. I can't count that high. I don't have a clue. God made that in 6 days. That's the same God that chose you. The same God.
That's good.
The God that created all this has chosen you. Psalm 8:4 says, David says this, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" It's amazing that the God that created all this even takes thought of little old Greg Nicholas right here. I'm glad he does. But wait, that's not all. He also has a purpose for you. He not only chose to die for you, he has a purpose for you.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:9, our theme verse for camp this year says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood.
Yeah.
If we're a priest, we're supposed to tell others, right? But we're supposed to live how? There's that holy again. A holy nation, a peculiar people. If you're going to live holy today, you're going to be considered a little strange.
Yeah.
But if we're going to make a difference in this world, the world's going to have to see a difference in us. We're going to have to be peculiar. We're going to have to be different. We're going to have to stick out like a sore thumb. And that's what God called us to do. God chose us. God chose to use us to be a witness, to be priests, and to be different. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God has formed us, set us apart, and has appointed us for a specific purpose. That same God that created the heavens and the earth has a special purpose for you. And he knew what it was before you were ever born. Before Jeremiah was ever thought of, he was going to be a great prophet. God had already set that apart. God had ordained that to happen. And he has a special purpose for you as well. David said in Psalms 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully made." You know, I didn't read a verse that said he fearfully made the stars or fearfully made the universe. But who did he fearfully make? Us. He chose us. He done all that he did on the cross. For who?
Yes, for us.
For us.
Yes, amen. That's good.
And that all being said, you have a choice now. What are you going to choose? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to serve him? Are you going to use that purpose that he's called you to? Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, God called us for a special purpose. Are we going to answer that call? He chose us. Are we going to choose to obey him?
Yeah, good.
You know, if we choose to do what God has called us to do, Satan probably ain't going to get the opportunity to sift us the way he wants to. We're going to be too busy.
Yeah.
And maybe I need to not say, "Boy, Greg, you're worthless."
Yeah.
I think about all that God's invested.
Yeah.
He gave his son. His only son for me. I had a debt I could not pay. No way possible. For the wages of sin is death. And I had committed sin. I'm worthy of death. But God gave, he chose to give his son for me so that I could be saved. So that I could pay that debt. He paid it, so I didn't have to. And now I can live with him throughout all eternity. If you've not made that decision to follow him for salvation, tonight would be the night to do it. God created all this for us. He did all this for us. He placed great value on you. He'd have done it if it had only been for you. He'd have done it if it had only been for me. You are not worthless.
That is right. That is right.
God wants you. I hope that's an encouragement to y'all tonight. Pray for us as we continue getting ready for camp.
Yeah.
And pray for these kids that are making the decision that they want to come. Because I guarantee you, just like Bev asked prayer for that young lady that's wanting to come, a foster child. I never was a foster child.
That's right.
How would you feel if your own parents didn't want you? Worthless. How would the worthlessness you would feel? But
yeah, man.
I've been adopted.
Yeah.
Because God chose me.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Amen.